Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you are with us today. The phone lines are open, and we'll welcome your call at 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question, a personal issue, or maybe you just want to vent about something, don't hesitate to call, friends, because this is what we're about at Basic Gospel. That's what we're all about. Again, the number 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now, friends, because it's Basic Gospel as I welcome Dr. Andrew Farley. Andrew, once again, thanks for being with me, my friend.
Hey, great to be with you, Bob, as always. And, today I wanted to read a passage out of Romans chapter 9. It says, "What shall we say then, that the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it, a righteousness that is by faith?" This is the true meaning of predestination. I know that is such a debate. We've got the predestination puzzle. People are trying to solve it. They're trying to figure out the true meaning of what Paul was trying to say. Was God going down the city street saying, "I'll take you, but not you," and right. "I'll take you, but not you"? Was God predetermining who could believe and then leaving others with no hope? Well, Paul would beg to differ on that one, my friend. Right here in verse 30, he tells us the true meaning, that Gentiles who did not chase after righteousness have found righteousness. I call this God's big fat Greek wedding. It is where the Lord God has decided in advance, his predetermined plan was that Abraham would be the father of many nations, not just Israel, but many nations, including those dirty, rotten Greeks over there in Corinth and those dirty, rotten Gentiles over there in America. And that would be folks like you and me.
That's right.
And, I say that in jest, but that is exactly how the Jews looked at Gentiles. And so they looked at Paul's ministry and said, "Paul, what are you doing over there?" And Paul had a chip on his shoulder. He had to defend his ministry, defend his mission. And that's what he's doing in Romans 9. That's why he talks about God saying, "You know what? I'll call a people who are not my people, my people." And that is the Gentiles suddenly now through Jesus being invited to the table. And, Bob, let me summarize with this. We quote John 3:16 all the time, "For God so loved the world." Do we really mean it? Do we really believe it? Does God love the world? Well, the scripture says he wants none to perish. He wants all to believe, and whosoever calls upon his name will be saved. That's the truth about predestination.
That's the truth, and that's great news about predestination. Thanks for those thoughts, Andrew. And friends, thank you again for being with us today. We'd love to hear from you. The phone lines are wide open at 844-322-2742, both in the U.S. and Canada. Toll free, 844-322-2742. And Andrew, we had this question that came in overnight from Tony on our system, and it concerns Matthew 7, verses 22 and 23. He says, "In our house fellowship, we're going through the book of Hebrews. Tomorrow night," of course that would be tonight, "we'll be in chapter 10. So listening to your YouTube video, does Hebrews 10:26 teach that you can lose salvation, has given me some important information about being prepared for the study. However, I would like to share with you a verse in the book of Matthew that makes me very scary, and that is Matthew 7:22 and 23. Could you please explain to who Jesus was referring in those verses?"
Well, I sure can, Bob, and in fact, I better do it in a hurry because that study is tonight, so let's get to it.
Yeah.
Folks, if you don't know what our friend is talking about yet, Hebrews 10:26, first of all, it says if we deliberately keep on sinning after we've received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left. Ouch, that's pretty scary.
Yeah.
And so you got to say, all right, hang on there. Let's look at Hebrews more carefully, because every one of us willfully sins. I mean, I don't know how you sin without your will involved. Deliberately sinning, well, every one of us has deliberately sinned. So what does this mean if we deliberately keep on sinning after receiving the knowledge of the truth? Well, it's no coincidence that for 10 straight chapters, there's only one kind of sin mentioned, and that's the sin of unbelief. Now, we're not used to that, Bob. I crack open the Bible to Corinthians, and I find all kinds of sinning. I find drunkenness and debauchery and sexual immorality. But then you pop over to Hebrews, and of course it's written to Hebrews, and their struggle is not drunkenness. Their struggle is not debauchery. Their struggle is not believing in Messiah. Yeah. Their struggle is rejecting Christ. And so what this author is saying is, look, if we Hebrews, if any one of us, if we hear this gospel and we receive this knowledge of the truth, and after receiving it, after hearing it, then we say, you know what, I'm going to keep on unbelieving. I'm going to keep on rejecting. I'm going to keep on saying no, because I'm going back to the Jewish temple to get forgiveness of sins through the blood of bulls and goats. Well, what this writer of Hebrews is saying is, you're kidding yourself, right? I mean, there's no sacrifice for sins over there. What are you going to do? Go over there and look for forgiveness? What are you going to do? Go over there and look for eternal life? Well, forget about it. It ain't happening, because life is in Jesus, yeah, and in Him alone. So that's Hebrews 10. And, you know, the bottom line is Matthew 7 is not much different. Our caller friend was, you know, concerned about this. Tony, you need to know that when you look at Matthew 7, these are people who are also missing the gospel. They're not bragging on Jesus. They're not believing in Him. Look at what they're saying. Lord, Lord, didn't we do a bunch of stuff for you? And that's the words on their lips. They're bragging on their performance. They're bragging on their good works. They're bragging on their deeds. They have missed the gospel, Bob.
Yes.
They've gotten it backwards. They've gotten it upside down. And so that is the reason that Jesus is saying, depart from me, I never knew you. Now,
right.
Tony, notice that word never. This is not that God got sick of them. This is not that Jesus is just fed up with them. No, these are people who never knew the Lord, and the Lord never knew them. This has nothing to do with loss of salvation. We got to fall back always on the promises of God. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Nobody can snatch you out of my hand. Even when you're faithless, I remain faithful. Nothing separates us from the love of Christ.
Thank you for a very clear answer, Andrew. And Tony, hope you're listening and hope that's a help to you during that study and for life, as a matter of fact. Good news from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. The phone line is open at 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on this edition if you have something you're struggling with, if you have a Bible question, whatever the situation, whatever the issue, we'd love to speak with you about it right now, live on the Basic Gospel program. Again, 844-322-2742. And friends, a rich resource for Christian living is archived on the Basic Gospel YouTube channel. Bob Christopher has posted close to 100 videos or some ridiculous number like that. He has done just a lot of work, and they cover just about any subject that you might have a question about, including his latest posting called What Must I Do to Please God? And you can find it now at basicgospel.net/YouTube. And don't forget to tell a friend about this free online video treasure trove. It's yours and anyone who would like to go and visit and take advantage of it. Again, that's at basicgospel.net/YouTube. Once again, the phone number, 844-322-2742. Come on in, be a part of this edition. And we had this question that came in by email. Andrew, this is from Daniel from Maryland, and he wants to know what the truth is about repentance. Does it refer to cleaning up one's life to eliminate as much sin as possible and then relying on God's grace for the rest, or what? What is the truth about the need to repent?
Well, first of all, we never rely on God's grace for the rest. It's from start to finish, this grace thing. We are in a life of grace. We're living under grace. We're saved by grace. We grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever we're talking about here, it is grace from start to finish. Grace is not a trendy movement. It's not a special focus. Paul called grace the gospel. He called it the gospel of grace. So when it comes to repentance, I think ultimately we just have to say yes and yes. There's an initial turning away from unbelief and turning toward belief. I mean, we were just quoting from Hebrews, and that was a warning to the Jews 2,000 years ago. Hey, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. In other words, don't remain unrepentant. Go ahead and change your mind about Jesus. Go ahead and call upon him. And when you do, you're not going to be disappointed. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. And he promises to save. Now, after I get saved, Bob, I'm a new creation. I'm a child of God. I've got that new heart. I've got the Holy Spirit living in me. Is there any time after that that I end up changing my mind? Well, my wife surely hopes so, right? I mean, we're learning and growing every day. I'm experiencing the renewing of the mind. It's true that, I don't know, out of the 50-some instances in the New Testament of this word repent, there are certainly a majority of them that refer to that salvation experience. I turn away from unbelief, and then I choose to invest in Jesus and put my trust in him. But you're going to find in the book of Revelation, for example, repent and do the deeds you did at first, Revelation 2:5, that's written to a church, to a congregation. And what God is saying there essentially is change your mind about the stuff you've been doing. Change your mind about your attitudes and your actions, because you're not reflecting Jesus in those. And, you know, Bob, that's not legalism. That's just good old-fashioned health. That's spiritual health as we abandon old attitudes and adopt new ones. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how does this come about? Well, we're back to grace. I mean, look, you're inhabited by the best counselor. He's your guide into all truth. He's your helper. He's your comforter. So he's going to inspire this change of mind. He's going to inspire these new perspectives and actions. So it's all by grace.
Absolutely.
But you better believe, Bob, that, I mean, God doesn't leave us at the point of salvation and just say, all right, you're stuck there. No, at that point, I'm an infant in Christ, and I've got some growing up to do. I've got some learning, and that's an adventure. And let me just say this, that it is a beautiful thing, because what's not to like? Yes, I'm learning and growing, and yes, that takes time, but you're righteous and you're holy and you're blameless throughout the journey, and that makes all the difference.
Absolutely. Well, a very similar question, I think, building on what you're talking about, is this call from Randy, who's calling from right here in Dallas, Texas. Randy, you're on the air with Andrew Farley.
Yes, hello, Andrew. This is Randy, Mr. Randicolis. And I'm questioning now, I've repented and I've been saved, and the Lord changed my whole life and everything like that, but I still am battling with sexual immorality, over females, over women, and I've done that all my life since I was like 4 years old, and I've been battling all my life. Uh-huh. And, I've repented, and I'm confused on the way to go.
So when you say you were battling at 4 years old, let's say 4 and 7 and 9 years old, I mean, was it pornography that you were looking at, or how is it that a 4 year old? Yeah.
At first it was women, just women in general. And, pornography, I've come across me. I've seen it and I picked it up. And
are you married?
I'm married. I am married. Yes, I have. Okay. I have two children. And yeah, and I had when I was 7 years old, there was a friend of mine. Well, I was friends with her. She lived next door to me, and we stripped down, and she took hold of me and kissed me down there, and I didn't know what I was doing, but it was just that's how it was. And then ever since then, I've always been fascinated by looking at pornography, and I have many girlfriends, and I've just and act wild and crazy with all my friends, my guy friends, and I don't know, it's just I've been wild.
And was there a time in your life, Randy, was there a time in your life where you received Christ?
Yes, there was. I received Christ when I was like 8 years old, but I was, maybe immature, very intelligent, I thought, but I'm very immature. But I accepted the Lord Jesus, and I've always tried to respect the name of the Lord Jesus Christ all my life since then. And, I said I was very gifted when I was a young child. And when I was 19, I went heads up with a diesel truck on a three-wheel motorcycle, and I was in a coma for almost 2 months. And my uncle, who got me saved, he had Christian brothers pray for me for 2 or 3 hours straight, and I woke from the coma.
Yeah.
And it took me around 5 years to have confidence in myself once again, and I was like being born a baby all over again. But I went out and I traveled to another country. I lived in Berlin, Germany.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this, Randy. Is this struggle that you have with pornography, is that the current struggle? That's what's going on right now?
Not so strongly, but it is.
Okay. All right, well, let's talk about it. You know, the bottom line is, you have a certain history, and a lot of things have happened in your life, and those early influences sort of shaped your view of women. And, you know, I think what you're presenting, and on one hand, there's nothing wrong with men being attracted to women. I don't want you to condemn yourself merely for being attracted to women. It sounds like you're pretty hard on yourself about that attraction in general. It's normal for a male human to see a female go across the screen of their mind or across the path of their eyes and to be attracted to that person because they're of the opposite sex. So first, I think you need to give yourself a little grace in that arena. As far as pornography, obviously there can be an unhealthy thing going on there for certain, and you've got an addiction at times throughout your life, perhaps, and it sounds like it's not as strong as it used to be. But, you know, the answer is still the same, and that is that first we got to start with, who does God say that you are, and what does he say about you, and what does he say about this issue? And, you know, God says that if you've called upon him, then you have a heart that hates pornography. You have a heart that loves Jesus. And he also said, I'm never going to abandon you. I'm never going to ditch you. I mean, Randy, God saw this thousands of years ago. God saw this before you were ever born. God had a plan for this before you ever struggled about it. And that plan is to come to know who you are in a deeper way. It's one thing to say, I want to respect Jesus, I want to follow Jesus, I want to live for Jesus, I want to be of good reputation. It's another thing to say, you know what, I'm going to count myself dead to sin, I'm going to count myself alive to God. God, I'm asking you to bear witness. I'm asking you to teach me who I am. What does my heart look like? What kind of person am I? You know, you've been defining yourself by your past. You're still in the details of it, the stories of old when you were 4 and 7 and 9, they have come to define you. You have a long resume, a history of who you believe you are because of what you've been through. And, you know, I'm here to say today, Randy, that that's not who you are. Who God says you are is that you're blameless and holy. It's just as if you've never sinned a day in your life, and you're not defined by your past. You're living right here, right now, with a totally new identity based on what Jesus did, not what you've done. So you can look back and say, well, there was this girl when I was this age, and there was this girl and this girl. Or you can look back to the cross and say, there's my Savior taking away my sins forever. There's my Savior putting me in him and giving me a new heart and a new spirit and his spirit. I think you need to sign your birth certificate. I'm talking about your new birth. I think you need to sign your death certificate because you died with Christ, and then you need to sign your new birth certificate. I think you need to attend your own funeral and say, you know what, my old life doesn't define me. I am a new creation in Christ. I am new-hearted. And when these thoughts come down the pipeline of my mind, I'm not going to have it. I'm going to count myself dead to those accusations, and I'm going to count myself dead to those temptations, because those go hand in hand. I mean, if you're going to believe the accusations, then you're going to believe the temptations. Because the enemy works this way. He says, now, Randy, look at your history. Now, Randy, look at what you've already done. Now, Randy, you're already ruined. You're already washed up. You might as well throw one more on the pile. And see, what Christ Jesus does is he enters into that dialogue, and he says he's not going to have it. And through the finished work of Christ, he is saying, you are not the sum total of what you've done. You are the sum total of what he's done. And when we realize that, my friend, then it's like having a fresh start every day, realizing I'm a 10 out of 10 righteous, I'm a 10 out of 10 forgiven, I'm a 10 out of 10 holy, and I belong to God. I am as pure as Jesus. And that's what you need to know, Randy. When you start believing that you're pure and thinking pure, then that's where the pure actions come from. I start realizing what kind of heart I've got, and then it's a lot easier to say no to that other foolishness, because you know what? That thought didn't come from me. That thought didn't come from my heart. That thought didn't come from my spirit. I count myself dead to that and alive to my God. So, Randy, I tell you what, I want you to hang on the line, if you would, and we're going to get you a free resource. Bob Christopher has written an amazing book on our identity in Christ, and it's called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. We want to make sure that you get that book in your hands so that it continues to encourage you in your new identity, and nothing else is stronger in helping a person with temptation. So appreciate your call today, my friend.
Yeah, thanks, Randy. Just hold on the line. We had this question from Greg as we get close to the end of the program, Andrew, and it is loosely connected to Tony's question earlier, but what about those who get saved and then end up backsliding, willfully sinning? What happens then?
You know, it's back to this idea of what are we doing? Backsliding? I mean, what were you climbing? I just want to ask, what were you climbing?
That's
and
great.
If you're sliding down, what were you climbing? Some sort of greasy fire pole and you kept slipping back? I mean, you know, the gospel is not us climbing up to God. The gospel is God climbing down to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And when we realize that's the true message, it's not about us and all the progress we're making. I mean, you know, we want to chart and graph our progress, and we want to talk about, oh my goodness, I committed a willful sin. Well, remember, every sin is willful. Your will is always involved. And Jesus Christ hung on that cross to die for your willful sins. He died for your frequent sins. He died for your occasional sins. Look, if you're in Christ, then there is no backsliding. Wherever you go, there he is. Christ lives in you. He's your life. He's your anchor, stable and secure. That's the truth. And recognize, look, he's never going to leave you, and he's always going to teach you the truth.
Excellent insight, as always, my friend. And it's great that Randy reached out to us. And Randy, if you're still listening, I just want to emphasize the fact that we're always here. And if you have further questions, don't hesitate to give us a call again, because I know it's been emotionally draining what you're going through and dealing with those issues. But Andrew, thank you for an excellent response to Randy's question, as always. Well, friends, for all of you who are listening right now, before tomorrow's broadcast, if you have a question about the Christian life or need input for an issue you may be facing, give us a call at 844-322-2742. That voicemail system is always open, always available to you. And we'll discuss your particular your issue on the Basic Gospel program. Again, that number is 844-322-2742. Now, friends, keep in mind also that we need your support to keep the message of grace and the Lord Jesus Christ on the air and online. And as you make your gift at basicgospel.net, be sure to request your copy of Bob Christopher's excellent book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, our way of saying thank you for supporting Basic Gospel. Well, that's it for another edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. And again, my thanks to Andrew for holding forth in Bob Christopher's absence. He'll be back tomorrow. Until then, for Bob and Andrew and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, and I hope you'll join us again tomorrow for more insightful discussions on the Christian life on Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.